Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts meet and lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. Today we sing that great hymn, For All the Saints, and it's very long, so we split it in two. We do the first three verses at the beginning, and we'll sing the last three verses at the very end of the service. And the verse that we will sing at the very end, the first one we'll sing, is this. O blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine, yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Alleluia, alleluia. Today is a day set aside in the church to remember the saints. But not just the ones who were made official by the Roman Catholic Church, since it is technically All Saints Sunday and not just some saints Sunday. Protestants like to be clear about this. We don't need special saints to intercede for us because God listens to them more, since they're basically just better Christians than we are. We don't believe that. What we celebrate when we celebrate All Saints is not the superhuman faith and power of a select few, but rather God's ability to use flawed people to do divine things. We celebrate the fact that God creates faith in his people, and those people, through ordinary acts of love, bring the kingdom of heaven closer to earth. We celebrate that we have, in all who have gone before us, as the Bible says, a great cloud of witnesses, and that the faithful departed are as much of the body of Christ as we are. It's really quite a thing when you think about it, that we are connected to so many, connected to so much faith, connected to so many stories, so much divine love, especially in this day and age of alienation and trying to find community, belonging in smaller and smaller ways. We may think that being connected to other people is having a similar theology or political beliefs or denominational affiliation or a neighborhood or same musical tastes or same Facebook groups. But none of that is what connects us to the body of Christ. What connects us to the body of Christ is not our good works, not even what we believe. It is God. God connects us. Our God who gathers up all of his children into the church eternal. So today we remember all the deeply faithful and flawed saints of God's church, through whom the glory of God has been revealed, is being revealed, and will be revealed. We remember Mary Magdalene and Peter the fisherman and all those disciples trying to get it right and often getting it wrong. We remember St. Francis and Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, but they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. We also thank God for gathering so many into the church eternal, many of whom still continue to light our own paths for us. We remember those who shared our breakfast tables, inside jokes, and family vacations, who encouraged us, inspired us. Some of you are here today to honor someone you have loved who has died this past year. Many of us have our own beloved dead to remember this day as well. People who we frankly would rather have still here in this room with us as a living person and not as a name to be spoken out loud on the first Sunday in November. We'd rather be sitting next to them than adding their name to the litany of saints. And while the grief and the sadness is heavy, it's important to feel it and to express it here at church every year. Because, and this is my hope for you for whom this is your year, Here at church, it's different. When we are left grieving, there are no easy answers, especially when there is suffering involved. But there is meaning to be found. There has to be. And for me, that meaning is connected to being a part of this mystic body of Christ, because it means then that death is never the final word. Both in life and death, we are still very much connected to each other because we're connected to God. The Bible calls this the great cloud of witnesses, and the Creed calls it the communion of saints. Somehow, we are still connected. And the nature of this connection is not to be understood logically or rationally. It exists more in the realm of art and heart, of poetry and music, the places where joy and sorrow are sometimes indistinguishable. But that doesn't make it elusive or out of reach. Maybe just the opposite. When our connection with our beloved dead exists in God's heart rather than our own, we have a place that is large enough for the breadth of our emotions and our experiences. Because before we were hit with the wall of grief that is ours, that is uniquely ours, God knew your grief. He too suffered. Isn't that an odd notion? God suffered? But that is one of the meanings of the Lord's Supper. We remember the night in which Jesus was betrayed and suffered, body and blood. And you know, there are people, I know for some of you, for whom communion, Holy Communion here, really is communion, in that it is here where you feel not just close, but closest to those who have died. In 1986, there was a great movie put out called Places in the Heart. It had an amazing cast, John Malkovich and Danny Glover and Sally Field. And it took place in 1935, Texas. And it's a crazy story of chance and circumstance. And Sally Field, the mom in the story, her husband is shot accidentally, and then it's, you know, the racist South, and there's lynchings, and it's really hard. And there's a lot of death and grief and a lot of hope and joy somehow intertwined in it. Well, at the very end of the movie, the very last scene is a church scene. And it's a very tiny little country church, and they're all sitting in the pews, and it's communion time. And the deacons are bringing the trays, and the trays are being passed through the pews, and the camera is up close to see a hand picking up some bread or the cup, and then it pans out a little bit, and you start noticing that as the trays are being passed, they're being passed to people who had died earlier in the movie. And then that dead person passes it on to a live person. And then as they go, the people who had died are in the pews receiving communion together. When we share this meal, the body and blood of Jesus, we say, when we gather around the table and remind each other of the night before Jesus defeated death, somehow God gathers us all up into the divine love of Christ and makes us a body, both now and in the life to come. So we give thanks for this table, where we gather a foretaste of a heavenly banquet around which the saints have already gathered. We give thanks that around this table we are tied to the whole communion of saints. We are united with all who have ever received bread and wine and told it was Jesus and it was for them. We are joined here with angels and archangels and cherubim and seraphim. We are joined with the whole church on earth and the church in heaven and all who have called on the name of God, because we are connected here through God to each other. So we give thanks that saintly acts are really simply acts of love through people who we know and love, who seek to follow Jesus and to serve. We give thanks for all who have come before us, who hand on this faith, who have made it possible for us to hear now, gather around this table as well. Oh, blessed communion, fellowship divine, we feebly struggle, but they in glory shine. Yet all are one in thee, for all are thine. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.